about using your time to foster a closer walk with God. You read your Bible, and there are a number of examples of people communing or fellowshipping with God across the pages of Scripture. Genesis 3, for example, then the man, Adam, and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. It seems that Adam was fellowshipping with God, and God was fellowshipping with Adam. There was this intimate, close, personal friendship. Then there's Abraham in Genesis 19, early the next morning. Abraham got up and returned to the place where he had stood before the Lord. That seems to have been a description of Abraham's daily practice, standing before the Lord. Psalm 5, David says, "In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning I lay my requests before you, and I wait in expectation." Waiting upon God, laying his requests before God, seeking God in the morning. Revelation chapter 1, John says, "On the Lord's day I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet." The Lord's day, in the Spirit, hearing the voice of God, fellowship and communion with God. And supremely, there's the example of Jesus Christ in Mark chapter 1. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. So whether it's Adam or Abraham, David or John, or Jesus Christ himself, the practice of a daily quiet time is firmly established across the pages of Scripture. So let me think today about having a quiet time. What do we mean when we use this expression? Let's think first of all about the purpose of a quiet time. And the purpose of a quiet time is simply this: fellowship with God. If you think of a young couple falling in love, what they want more than anything else is to be together. They want to spend time with each other. They want to talk to each other. They want to get to know each other. And just so the Christian with God. If you have come to know God as your Lord and as your Savior, if he has turned you around from sin and from worldliness and emptiness and the control of the devil, and he's opened your eyes to what Christ has done for you on the cross, more than anything else, you'll want to know more of God. You'll want to gaze on him. You'll want to gather anything you can about him. And the quiet time is such a time daily to get into God's presence. I mean, you could hardly have much of a marriage if you didn't spend time with your wife or with your husband on a daily basis. The quiet time also provides strength for the day in terms of battling against sin, against the world, and against the devil. It provides opportunity for Bible study and prayer. We'll come back to that in a minute or two. But supremely, the quiet time is for fellowshipping with God. That's its purpose. That's its point. It's an expression of your love for the Lord and for being in the presence of the Lord. It's about the Lord and your desire for him. Your face, Lord, the psalmist says, I will seek. Let me talk secondly about preparing for a quiet time. And this is where Christians sometimes differ. Some people are morning people. Some people are evening people. So how do you prepare for a quiet time? You know the little joke women sometimes tell? Sometimes I wake up grumpy in the mornings. Other times I let him sleep. You can laugh. Sometimes I wake up grumpy in the mornings. Other times I let him sleep. It's hard to get up in the mornings. Some of us are morning people. Some of us are evening people. Going to bed early or earlier is good preparation for getting up in the morning and having your quiet time. Getting off screens maybe half an hour before you go to bed will start to slow your brain down. TV in the bedroom, probably not. Then in the morning when you get up, it may be an idea to have your ablutions first. It may be an idea to have your breakfast first, and then your mind is getting woken up and you're feeling awake enough to have time with God. There's no point sitting over your Bible sleeping. Others I know are evening people, or they start work so incredibly early in the morning, by necessity they have their quiet times later. Again, you have to prepare. You've got to clear your mind. If something pops into it, well, write it down in a bit of paper, set it to one side, and think, well, I'll get back to that in a minute or two, but now I'll know and not forget it. If sitting you fall asleep, well then stand. Abraham stood before the Lord. Remove distractions, switch off the TV, the phone, the tablet. Ignore your posts, Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. Very hard to be still in the modern world. We live in a very distracting world. Apparently there are people nowadays, I'm not one of them myself, but apparently there are people nowadays who get up in the middle of the night to check their phones. Very distractible world. Some people are compulsive checkers of their phones. If you're trying to have a quiet time and you're spending your time checking your phone, switch it off. It'll still be there when you come back. But if you want to get serious with God and your walk with the Lord, it cannot be done on the cheap. You know, sometimes you buy a machine or a gadget and there's a whole manual that comes with it, a big thick book. And then the manufacturer may also have provided what they call a quick startup guide. And that's the one I usually read because it's just in a page or two, it tells you how to get the thing up and running on a basic level. Well, that may be true of a washing machine or of some gadget you have bought, but for Christian walking with God, there's no such thing as a quick startup guide or Christianity light. The psalmist says, deep calls unto deep. If you want to go deep with God, you've got to go deep with God. You've got to be prepared for that. You've got to settle yourself. You've got to be intentional. Fellowship with God is not like instant coffee. Okay, God, here I am. I'm going to have fellowship with you for the next 5 minutes. Or like something you zapping a ready meal in the microwave. It's not like that with God. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes discipline. We've got to prepare in order to meet with God. Thirdly, planning for a quiet time. How long should a quiet time be? Remember whenever I first got saved, someone gave me a little booklet, and it was about having a quiet time, and a suggested time frame was 7 minutes. A minute to pray, to settle into it, 4 minutes to read the scriptures, a minute to reflect on what was said, and then a minute to pray to end with, and then on your way. It was really helpful. 7 minutes, especially when I first got saved, I was hearing these stories of these great saints of old who were up at 4 o'clock in the morning for their quiet times that lasted an hour, 2 hours, or 3 hours. What they didn't tell you was that those great saints of old lived in the days before electricity, and they were in bed at 8 or 9 o'clock at night. But 7 minutes was the suggestion, but it wasn't long, you know, before that was doubled, sometimes trebled, sometimes quadrupled. As I began to enjoy and walk with God and find a depth with God that was simply something that just kept me going, wanting more and more and more. The point, however, is not to be mechanical. You've got to start somewhere, and maybe 7 minutes is a good start to aim for 7 minutes. But the point is you have to start. You have to aim for something. 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes a day with God. Start somewhere. Don't be mechanical. Be spirit-led. Don't fall into a rut and say you always have to do it the same way. You don't always have to do it the same way. Don't become legalistic. It has to be the same time, the same place, or else the blessing of God is not going to be there in your life. You know, we're not legalists, but we are people who ought to be practicing good habits. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. And the pattern is prayer, Bible reading, prayer. Ask for God's light. Ask for God's spirit. Ask for God's help to understand what you're reading. You know, I don't understand everything that's in the Bible. I'm always encouraged by what Peter says in 2 Peter 3, where he's talking about Paul, and he says his letters contain some things that are hard to understand. Peter found Paul's writings hard to understand. And if Peter felt like that before the scriptures, how much more you and I? It's no embarrassment to admit we don't understand. And maybe some things in scripture are hard to make us pray over them and seek God, that God would show us what they mean. That I would pray and meditate and read what others have written on this particular portion of Scripture. Let me talk about the practicalities of the quiet time. It may help you to take a cup of coffee or tea into your time with God to slow you down, just to sit and calm down and settle down and just sip that tea or coffee and just gently break yourself into that time. Also, a Bible is crucial in your hand. The psalmist says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." Jesus said, when you pray, say, "Give us this day our daily bread." And yes, that means physical bread, but it also means spiritual bread. Elsewhere, Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." How often do you eat food? I would guess there's everyone in this meeting house tonight and listening to this recording, I would guess every single one of us eats daily. That's not a very hard guess. We all eat daily. And if we eat physical food to nourish our bodies, then we ought to eat spiritual food to nourish our spirits. If we stop feeding on God's word, we'll shrivel up and we'll spiritually die. Bible notes are helpful. As we were sitting with the cup of coffee in one hand and the Bible in the other, Bible notes before us also can be helpful. And the danger, let me just say, with Bible notes is that sometimes some of them only give you a verse. And then there's a thought with them. Well, that's fine. But when was the last time you got an email and you just read one sentence and set it to one side and said, well, I'll read the next sentence tomorrow. And the sentence after that the day after. And it's an email with maybe 10 sentences. You would never read that over 10 days. If you get an email or a letter from someone, you read the whole letter. And some of these Bible reading notes, they train us to think the Bible's only a sentence at a time. It's not only a sentence at a time. If they give you a sentence, read the whole chapter or read the whole letter that it's from. Try to take in more of the Bible than just that one little verse or those 5 verses or those 10 verses that may be given. We would never read a letter just a sentence at a time over 10 or 20 days. So why do we read the Bible like that? So Bible notes can be helpful. They can also be harmful. You might consider a daily reading plan. There are so many of these to mention. Search the Scriptures is a very good one. It's a 3-year reading plan, takes you through the Bible. Every day there are questions on the text that you have to read. Trouble is there's no answers. But the questions, as they're asked, sometimes the next question provides the answer to the previous one, and you have to kind of work through it. You have to dig deep using that scheme, Search the Scriptures, it's called. The Gideon's Bible, if you have a Gideon's Bible, has a daily reading plan at the front of it. The Bible Society produces one as well. And then the famous one is Robert Murray McShane, famous minister of St. Peter's in Dundee. He produced a Bible reading plan. You can probably go online and get it. It takes you in a year through the New Testament twice, through the Psalms twice, through the Old Testament once, 4 chapters a day. You have to be really dedicated to keep going at it, I have to say that. But committing to God's word is never an exercise done in vain. It can become dry and it can become mechanical. That's why you have to keep praying as you're reading. A notebook and pen are useful too. You may want to invest in a single volume commentary on the whole Bible. The Africa Bible Commentary is quite helpful, written by African folk bringing their perspective. Or the IVP New Bible Commentary covers the whole Bible. Study Bibles are available. Some of them are maybe worth more than others in terms of promoting devotion. But a lot of people like study Bibles. The ESV Study Bible is online with notes. And for a more meaty commentary, you might use Matthew Henry's 1-volume commentary on the whole Bible, although the version I have is actually 6 volumes on the whole Bible, and there's a lot to get through if you're following it. The point, however, is to search the Scriptures. Remember, Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures." And I wonder, do we search the Scriptures? Because Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures. These are the Scriptures that bear witness of me." If you want to find God and fellowship with God, you do that through the Scriptures. Finding and fellowshipping with God is not about a kind of a, a kind of a cloudy experience where we kind of close our eyes and float and engage in transcendental meditation. Search the scriptures, for these are the scriptures that bear witness of me, said Jesus. Then there's the problems of the quiet time. The devil. The devil will see to it that you can't find the time. The devil will tell you your schedule is so tight. You're not like that minister up there saying all these things. He has all day to do nothing, and besides, only works one day a week. And on that day, only works 2 hours. Whereas your job is full on all day, all year round. You haven't got the time that I have. It can be a battle to have a quiet time. It's a battle for me to have a quiet time. I can assure you, I work more than 2 hours in the week. Someone has said, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. The devil will try everything to keep you away from the Bible. Distraction also is a major problem. I've mentioned already the phone, turn it off. The TV, turn it off. The radio, turn it off. The internet, turn it off. If small children are the distraction, you could ask someone else to look after them for 15, 20 minutes. Or even snatch a few minutes in some private place or some opportunity elsewhere. Out in the car even. Stop somewhere and have a time with the Lord. And if you miss a day or two, well, the devil will lash you and say to you, you know, you've really messed up. You've really walked away from God. And sometimes you feel if you've missed a day or two, you have too many readings to catch up. Oh, what's the point? I'm going to give up. Well, if you've got 2 or 3 readings mounting up, just leave them to one side and get back to the one for today. Don't load yourself down with guilt. Try and keep the routine and the rhythm. Missing one or now and again is not going to be the end of the world. God's word is alive. If you're cold, it will challenge you. If you're sinning, it will rebuke you. If you're on fire, it will feed the fire. If you're sad, it will comfort you. If you're doubtful, it will reassure you. Finally, let me just say to you, after the practicalities that I've gone through, let me just encourage you to seek the presence of the Lord. You know, we can be involved in church work and we can be involved in all sorts of things that we're trying to do for God. But whether we're seeking God in the middle of it, that's the key to success. That's the key to the contentment that we're going to have in the middle of it. You can be involved in all sorts of things, throwing yourself in all sorts of ministries and all sorts of ways of serving God. But if you're not seeking God in the midst of that, it'll just be dry and fruitless. I encourage you to seek God in the midst of what you are doing. To be open to the coming of the Holy Spirit. The descent of the Spirit into your life where your pulse might race and your awareness of God becomes palpable as you sit meeting with God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. John says in Revelation 1, I turned round to see the voice that was speaking to me. Isn't that lovely? He turned round to see the voice. Who was this speaking to him? And when I turned, I saw 7 golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash falling about around his waist. In verse 17, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. But isn't that lovely? When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. As we said to the children this morning, the wise men came in, and when they saw the Christ child, they fell down on their faces before him and they worshipped him. Having a quiet time is about worshipping God. It's not about ticking off a book and saying, yep, I've got through another chapter. Yep, I've said my 5 prayers for the day. Yep, I'm ready to go. The quiet time is about fellowshipping with God, worshiping with God, being equipped out of a sense of love, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, that I'll go out and do whatever he wants me to do. You know, don't give your leftovers to God. If you have a big meal, and lots of us have been involved in big meals over the last few days, and you've got a load of leftovers, if you have people coming tomorrow, you don't give them the leftovers. You cook fresh food for them coming. And yet often, as Christians, we can be guilty of God giving God our leftovers, the scraps of our lives, the little bit here and the little bit there. We don't make serious time for God. We don't settle down to prepare to meet with God and to feed upon his word. With time for everything else sometimes, but God only gets a snatched minute or two, the leftover of a busy life. I haven't covered everything, but I just wanted to be, in a sense, practical tonight as we come just to face a new year. And I hope what I've said has been useful. I'll finish with a quotation. Dr. Frank Gabeline, not sure how to pronounce his name, but he was headmaster of Stony Brook School in Long Island for 41 years. He was a great Bible scholar as well, and he was asked on his 80th birthday, what advice would he give to the next generation of Christians? This is what he said. Maintain at all costs a daily time of scripture reading and prayer. As I look back, he said, I see that the most formative influence in my life and thought has been my daily contact with Scripture over 60 years. My daily contact with Scripture over 60 years. And what you do with this book will determine where you go with God. You may have many talents. You may have many gifts, but it's what you do with this book that will determine where you go with God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for just the challenge of a daily quiet time. We know, Lord, it's not easy in a busy world, in a stressed out world, in a frantic world, to find time to meet with you. And yet, Lord, for the good of our souls, it is vitally necessary. And we thank you. We've been reminded tonight of Abraham, of Adam, of David, of John, and supremely of the Savior, getting up long before dawn and going and praying and seeking your face. Help us, Lord, we pray, to feel the challenge of that. And Father, we all have pressures upon us, but nevertheless, Lord, to give you time, serious time, is indeed the key to life and to ministry and to spiritual satisfaction. Father, we just thank you that we worship you. We thank you that the quiet time is about fellowshipping with you. And we pray for more worship in our lives. We pray for more hunger for God in our lives. We pray, Father, for more of the Spirit in our lives. Forgive us our sin, Lord. Forgive us our busyness. Forgive us, Lord, our distraction. Forgive us our laziness. Help us, Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, to seek you and day and daily to make it our priority to find time for our God. Through Christ we pray. Amen.